Hey guys, it's me again. Time for Tomes of Terror. This week we are going to be talking about a book that I loved. I had a fucking blast reading this book. This is Horror Store by Grady Hendrix. Horror Store? I don't know. I don't speak German or Dutch or whatever. Things with umlauts. Grady Hendrix is an author that gets recommended a lot around BookTube. And this is actually the first book of his that I have read. I do have another one back there in my pile that I will get to eventually. This one, can I just say, from a graphic design standpoint, I love this. Look at this. Because look, it's like, okay, now it's weird because I bought a used copy off of eBay or Amazon or something. And look, it says this is an advanced proof copy. And like, you're supposed to check like with the final copy before you do reviews and stuff. It says not for resale. So somebody resold it. So I'm going to prison. I don't know. Probably not. This book is designed to look like an IKEA catalog. And even, it's not just the cover either, which looks like the thing. It's like the same size as the IKEA catalog. It's the same color scheme. But look, like inside, they have like all these, let me see if I can find one, because this one is kind of, it's used. So it's kind of like, so it's like they have stuff like this. And everything has like descriptions of like the piece of furniture. And it gets like more and more fucked up like as the book goes on. But I thought this book is hilarious and wonderful. And I mean, aside from just the whole aesthetic of it, the whole gestalt of it, because I love books that are like graphic design that have to do with their theme. So basically what this book is about is there is IKEA does exist in the universe of this book, but there is another store that's pretty much ripping it off. That's just like it called Orsk. And same as IKEA, it's like this really big like furniture store that has like, you know, the same multi-tools, the same flat packing. And it has like all this kind of, you know, quasi weird, like minimalist, like European branding. You know what I mean? So they have like all the furniture has like these like slightly ridiculous names. And so at the beginning, there's we mostly follow like the main character whose name is Amy. And she has worked at this Orsk store for, you know, however long. And she's kind of like a working class character. She's very poor. She's trying to like pay back student loans. She lives like, I think she lives in a, you know, a trailer park, or she lives somewhere like in kind of like a lower middle class type of area. So she's basically just working this job because, you know, for the money. And, you know, and she's just trying to like make her way in the world. And this is the only place around in this town where you can make any decent money. So she's just kind of there for the job. Now, we pit her against her manager, whose name is Basil. And Basil is somebody that kind of worked his way like up the corporate ladder and is now like managing this store. And he is like super, he's a nice guy, but he's like super by the book. You know what I mean? And he's like very, he seems to have like really bought into the whole like corporate culture of Orsk. It's like, you know, this is all our family. And so he's like always like spouting stuff from the employee handbook and all that. I mean, we've all, like, everybody that's had these kind of jobs, like, knows somebody like this. So the two of them are kind of at odds. You know, she just wants to do her job and, like, go home and not think about it anymore. And he's kind of, like, at the beginning, he's kind of after her all the time, and she's like complaining because seems like he's always picking on her. But kind of as the little bit of the characterization goes on, you find out that he's picking on her because he sees potential in her. You know what I mean? That she could go much farther in the company if she would just like apply herself and like get an attitude adjustment and all this other kind of stuff. So there's like kind of some conflict there. That's kind of the main conflict of the book. So you have these two main characters, and what ends up happening, like some kind of random strange things have been happening around this store. Things like, you know, things just being moved around or broken, or very hilariously, like one of the sofas, this sofa here on the front, which is called a Brooka, and someone has apparently pooped on it, it looks like. Like, and it's very funny how Basil like doesn't want to say that it's poop. He'll just say like there's a substance on the Brooka, and they always call it that. They don't call it the sofa, they call it by its like proper name, which kind of cracked me up. So they think that someone has been sneaking into the store at night, and kind of breaking shit, or is kind of like, squatting in there or something. So basically, Basil, the people from the corporate office are going to be there like on the next day. And he's like, look, we need to do like an overnight stakeout in the store and find out what the hell is going on. Like, find out who is coming in here and doing all this stuff. So he ends up recruiting Amy. And this other woman who works there is a cashier who's like a kind of an older, like a middle-aged woman who's like, very, her name's Ruth Ann, and she's very like into this job. She's very like friendly. She's very outgoing. I guess she's like kind of, she's like a single and, she just has cats, or she's like a cat lady, but she's like really nice and she's nice to everybody. And she considers everybody that works there like her friends and family and all the customers and stuff too. Now, the two of them get recruited. They weren't actually like the first choice because Basil initially wanted like some of the big burlier dudes that worked in the store, like just in case, that somebody was somebody dangerous, like living in the store, but they all had some other shit to do. And so it ends up that these two women are going to do this overnight shift with Basil. And he says he's going to give him like extra money, like under the table and everything, because he's like, look, we want to get this all sorted out like before corporate gets here. So that ends up happening. So they do the overnight shift. And then it turns out, like, some. I don't want to spoil too much about it because I didn't really know. I mean, other than the concept of IKEA-like store is sort of haunted, that was kind of all I knew about this book. And I was like, that sounds like a really funny concept. So I started reading it. So other things happen, like, other characters come into play. Things happen, like, just kind of stranger and stranger and stranger, like, as the night goes on. And eventually it gets to a point where it's almost kind of like it goes in almost a Hellraiser kind of direction, I want to say. It kind of reminded me of a little bit of like Clive Barker. Now, the thing about this book is that the weird thing is that I liked this whole entire book. Like I said, I loved this book. I love the design of it. I love the concept of it. I loved the characters, like the dialogue between them was like really funny. And it's almost like the first part of the book where they're just like dicking around in the store and like they just first gone into the night shift and like a couple weird things have happened, but nothing really, crazy or anything yet. I almost liked the first part of the book better just because I really enjoyed like the interactions between the characters and like you not exactly knowing what was going on in the store and like them having speculations about it and just kind of walking around. And I mean, I will say too that the way that Grady Hendrix describes this store, I mean, if you've been in an IKEA store, you kind of like know where he's coming from with it. But imagining being in an IKEA store that's like this massive place after hours, well, there's like nobody around and like most of the lights are out. And just, them kind of walking around the store, like doing, like looking for whoever this person or whatever it is that's been causing all these disturbances. I mean, just the description of it is really, really creepy. And it's like really, really well done because you can kind of like picture it in your head. So I really liked the first part of the book. And then it's funny. It's like almost like a horror comedy type of thing, which I guess that's kind of like mostly his thing. Like I said, I have another one of his books. My Best Friend's Exorcism, I have in the pile over there, so I will get to that one eventually as well. But so it's very much like a horror comedy at the beginning, and then it almost, I don't want to say like it takes a hard right into, like I said, into Clive Barker Town, all because there's still funny shit that happens like in the end, but it really does go ape shit. I mean, you know what I mean? It really goes in a crazy, crazy direction having to do with what was on the site of the store like before it was built there, like a long time ago. So it's almost kind of like a traditional haunting, but not really. It's more like a Hellraiser type of thing, which like I said, I don't want to spoil it too much because like I said that I really enjoyed the whole like experience of reading this book and like going through it and reading all the little shit, like the little drawings of all the furniture and like the descriptions and like what color choices they came in and shit. I mean, a huge, huge amount of work was put into this book, like thematically, so it would all like work as this one package. And like I said, I love that type of thing. I love that type of branding. So I just thought that was so fun. So like I said, the second part of it is like way more horror themed than the first part. I mean, the first part is just very snarky, very funny. And you get like all this conflict between Amy's character, who's kind of, I mean, she's in her 20s, she's like 24, and she's kind of like snarky. And she, like I said, she just wants to work here to get money. It's like she doesn't really care about the whole corporate bullshit. It's like she'll do her job, but she's not worried about it otherwise. She doesn't want to go above and beyond. And so there's like the conflict between her and between Basil, who's, you know, really wanting to get ahead. And he's really like very corporate. And like I said, his character is actually very sympathetic. Like you can see why somebody would be annoyed by him, but he doesn't come across as an annoying character. He comes across as a good guy. And he does have like a past that they get into, you know, kind of a reason why his character is like that and why he's so invested in this company, because this company has been very good to him and stuff like that. So you have that. And then you have Ruth Ann, who's kind of just this sweet, you know, middle-aged kind of lady who's kind of like the arbiter between them, I guess, even though she kind of has to like nut up later on and do some shit. But like I said, as it goes on, you do kind of get attached to these characters. And then when it all goes to shit, like at the end and everything just goes like the horror just goes like fucking crazy, you know, bad shit does happen. So I think it's good that the first half of the book is like built up so well, like the characters are built up really well, because you actually do start to care about them. So like when bad shit happens to them, you're like, oh no, that's like, that's such a bummer. This book I would unreservedly recommend to anybody. I mean, it was just super fun. It was one of those ones where it's like I would read a few pages of it and then I would be like, no, I gotta stop, I got other stuff to do, and then I would keep going back to it. Like every time like I'm working at my computer and I had it kind of sitting in front of me, I'd kept opening it and like reading a few more pages like to see what was gonna happen. But it's like I said, just the interactions with the characters, hilarious. And it's like I didn't really know where it was going, and the fact that it just like went this fucking crazy ass almost interdimensional kind of direction, like I wasn't really expecting it. I was expecting more like a straight ahead haunted kind of thing. So I really, really liked that it kind of surprised me in that. And like I said, the whole design of the book is just, it's just delightful. And I mean, the fact that there's even like, there's even shit in there. There's like order forms, like that looks like a real like furniture order form. There's like just all of this fucking shit. Like it looks really like an IKEA catalog. And I just love, love, love that they did that. Yeah, I would definitely recommend this. Like I said, this is the first Grady Hendrix book that I've read, but I have one more. And, you know, if they're all this good and this funny and this well written, then, you know, definitely I'll be reading more of this guy's stuff, because, you know, this was just, it was so fun. And it's like, I definitely want to read it again at some point. So yeah, I would totally, totally recommend it, called Horror Store. But yeah, this came out in 2014. So obviously I'm a little bit behind on reading it. But you know, it's just like, I mean, look at this, look at how funny this is. It's just like, really looks like this whole, like, it's just the effort that they went into, like, to make it look like this is just, I love it. I love it. You know what I mean? Check that shit out. It's just so, so fucking funny. So funny. You know what I mean? So yeah, definitely pick this one up if you like horror comedy, and if that sounds like something that that you would be into, because I really, really enjoyed it. And like I said, we'll see more of Grady Hendrix in the future. So I will see you guys next week when we'll talk about another book. So bye.